Destiny Church 217 podcast. Today we're hearing from Evangelist Levi Vincent, Evangelist of Springfield, Illinois. Levi continues in our series about the names of God with Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Following the message, take a look at the episode description where you can find scripture references as well as helpful links to learn more about Levi Vincent Ministries and the ministry of Destiny Church.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm Brother Levi Vincent, and I'm happy to be here today. We're going to have some fun today, right? God is so good. Thank you, guys, for having me. It is an honor to be here today, and it really is a privilege to be in this house with you guys. You're amazing. Amazing people of God, and I just want to thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Destiny Church. Thank you, Eric, for all your support. It's been 12 years of Levi Vincent Ministries and just getting happy on Jesus and sharing Jesus everywhere and just stepping out in faith and believing that we can reach this city, right? We can share Jesus with every person in this city. Whether it's preaching, teaching, Levi Vincent Ministries is all about evangelism and just doing the work of the evangelist and sharing Jesus to everyone, you know, whether it's the homeless, the outcasts, the disabled, people in church, people outside of church, everybody. We don't discriminate. Everybody needs Jesus. So I am a missionary in this city, and I'm right under the umbrella of Destiny Church, and I'm a missionary evangelist, so I just live on the support of giving by you guys. And this past year, I've been focusing on youth. We spent the whole year worshiping with youth. And how that happened was last May, I was right here, and I gave a word about being a cross-pollinator and sharing Jesus everywhere. And that day, that night before, I had a dream about these wristbands, and I was like, who'd take a wristband? Who would wear a cross-pollinator wristband and give it to somebody and share Jesus with them? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, good. Now I can give them away to you guys. All right, somebody's going to get cross-pollinated today. One year ago, I got to share this message, and since then, I've been able to hand out thousands of these. I think probably about 2,500. Let's see if I can get one back there. All right, I'm going to throw it like a football. Actually, Braden told me how to throw a football. He said, whip it like that. Let's try it like this one. Okay, are you serious? How'd it go over there? Everywhere. We're sharing the gospel everywhere. So I've been out cross-pollinating, and God encouraged me. Churches need to connect, right? Like, we need to appreciate one another. We need to honor one another. And so I've been trying to connect with as many churches as possible and see how I can serve them through evangelism. How can I serve the church in evangelism? Can I train or equip you? Can I come and stir a fire in you for evangelism? Can I take your team out and witness with you, take your youth group out? So in July, I'll be taking a youth group out. And so I went to a Billy Sunday revival that some of the churches in town put together last year. And out of nowhere, and I got to preface it with this. I got excited about revival, right? Sean Foyt was in town, went and saw Sean Foyt worship, and God did amazing things and encountered the Spirit of God. And I said, man, I want to bring more revival to this city. I want to bring more revival, and I really want to touch the youth in our city. I'd love to see this next generation get revival in their hearts. And so I went to this Billy Sunday revival, and if you don't know who Billy Sunday is, he was a revivalist. He was a minister that came and brought revival to our city like 100 years ago. And so while I was there, this young lady that I don't even know, she came up to me and she said, God gave me a vision of you, and you had kids on both sides of you, to the left and the right, and they were all laughing. And I was like, okay, that's God. Because you guys, if you don't know, I love laugh breaks. And that's one way that we tell the devil, put him in his place, right? We laugh at the devil because he's a liar. And so I was like, wow, I'm going to be working with youth. That's confirmation of what God was showing me. And I'm telling you, within 2 weeks, we had youth in our house every week worshiping a couple of nights all year long. Every week we worshiped with youth. We went out to pumpkin patches and prayer conferences and coffee shops, and we'd play out. And so God did that. That was nothing I could do. God gave me a word and he fulfilled it. And so I'm just grateful that God is doing something in my ministry, and that he is reaching the next generation, and that we are sharing the gospel everywhere. We had an awesome banquet of honor last year, and we fed over 120 people, a wonderful 5-star dinner at the Abraham Lincoln Hotel, and we picked them up with limos at the shelters, and we packed the place out. And that was all thanks to you guys. So thank you for giving. And I have a personal budget to keep and a ministry budget to keep, and I need more sponsors. We're like at half of where we need to be. So whether you want to be a monthly sponsor with me, or you want to give $5 to me right now, no, I'm just joking, but thank you. We got five. Anybody 20? So seriously, every little bit helps. I need sponsors. I need people that want to sow into evangelism, and because I'm going to go out and share Jesus with every single person that I meet. But sometimes I don't, and I get scared. Anybody else get scared? I'm like, I don't. That's me too, you know. So I understand. But yes, we're going to share Jesus. And so the beauty of the cross-pollinator wristband is on the inside. It says, "Christ died for our sins, and he rose from the dead." So, hey, can I give you something? Can I tell you what the cross stands for? And a lot of people, I say, hey, I like your cross necklace. Do you know what it means? And they say, no, not really. Tell me. And I say, well, Christ died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. And so just want to give them out to everybody. And when I don't have one on, I'm like, oh, no, now what do I do? What do I say? And I'm like, I better still tell somebody about Jesus. But it's a lot easier when you have something to give them and you're thinking about it. So it's been an amazing year. And we're going to have a prayer gathering on the weekend of 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, that he will heal our land. So who knows, we need to pray. And so on the weekend of July, we're going to be meeting over at the Union Station. If I can't get in there, maybe the Capitol Steps. In the past 3 years, we've met at the Capitol Steps and had a prayer gathering. But maybe we'll meet at the Union Station this July and have a prayer gathering. So come and join me. On that day, it's a day of fasting and prayer, and God is going to heal our land. He's going to hear our prayers. But we have to pray, and that's one thing I know now as an evangelist, that we have to pray. I don't want to just go out on my own strength. I want to pray and let God go ahead of me and just do what he does. So we're going to have a prayer gathering in July, and I get to talk about Jehovah Nissi today. Nissi, Jehovah Nissi. Say Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And I want to get right into it, but I'm going to pray real quick before we do. And invite the Lord here. So Father God, we thank you for this awesome day and this sermon series that we've been in. And I thank you that we're getting to know you more every day. We're getting to know you as our healer and our deliverer and our righteousness. And I pray that you would be glorified today. I pray you'd be lifted up. And I ask, Lord God, that you give us your favor and surround us with your favor and your shield and your encouragement. And I pray you'd lift heaviness off of us and send us out into battle, God, as bold witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, bless your word and bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thank you guys for for listening to about Levi Vincent Ministries. Let's get into the Word and find out about Jehovah Nissi. So, let's go to Exodus 17, verses 8. And we're going to see that the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. All right, let's keep reading. We're going to read through it here. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." All right, let's go back to Exodus 17, 15. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." This is Jehovah Nissi, "The Lord is my banner." And so we're going to talk about banners today, and we're going to talk about the victory that we get when the Lord is our banner. Anybody need victory in here today? I need some victory in my life. So we got a picture up here, and it's Moses holding up the rod of God. Somebody say that with me, the rod of God. This is the same rod that turned into a serpent before Pharaoh. This is the same rod that Moses put into the Red Sea and it parted for the Israelites to cross over. This is the rod of God. And we know that the victory is in the rod of God, right? It's not in Moses. It's in God. And there's actually nothing special about that rod. It's a shepherd's staff, right? So God took something completely ordinary and regular to Moses, and he said, "Yeah, but when I'm a part of it and when I use it and put it to work, it's going to be the rod of God." And what if God took you and turned you into a rod of God? Say, "Lift me up, Lord. I'll be a rod of God today." Hallelujah. You can be a rod of God in God's hands. And he'd put you in the Red Sea. He'll split it. Where's he going to put you? And he's going to show his power. God said that he uses the weak things, the despised things of this world to confound the wise. And so we're going to see how God takes this rod here. And who does he have at his sides? He has Aaron and Hur. And so what happened? He's holding up this rod and his hands got tired. And every time they would lower that rod, the Amalekites would start winning. But as soon as they said, "No, just keep God up. Keep lifting up God and we'll win. Keep lifting him up." And so they had the victory. So Jehovah Nissi is, "The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory." So let's go back through the story just a little bit and make sure we understand what's happening here. We have the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites are attacking in Exodus 17, verse 8, and the Amalekites are descendants of Esau, okay, and grandson of Esau. And we all know that Jacob and Esau were brothers. Jacob became Israel, and Esau was not a godly man at all. He sold his birthright for a pot of stew. And he didn't respect the ways of God, and he didn't He loved to serve his own flesh and do things his own ways. And so, therefore, Esau hated Jacob because Jacob was blessed and highly favored. And Jacob did pursue the Lord, and we know Jacob wrestled with the Lord to get the blessing. And so Amalek and the Amalekites represent godless people who are hedonistic. They don't love the ways of God. They're atheist. They don't believe in God. And they came out to attack the Israelites at Rephidim. And Rephidim means a place of rest. And how many of you know every time you just finally get to sit down, somebody comes after you and has something for you to do? There's a battle that needs to be won. And so they were trying to take a rest. They had just come out of Egypt. They just had come through the Red Sea. They just had come out of 400 years of slavery. They were not warriors. They were slaves. They didn't have warrior mentalities. They weren't trained in battle. They're slaves, and they're tired, and they want to rest, and they're trying to flee for their life. They've seen God do great things, and they're trying to get some rest. And now they're not slaves of sin anymore. They're just trying to have a good time and enjoy their life of freedom. And now the Amalekites are coming after them. So Moses said, enough of that. We're not going to have that. We're going to choose some men and go out and fight these Amalekites. And I'm going to stand up on the hill with the rod of God. And Joshua fought the Amalekites, and he beat them off. And then it says Moses' hands grew tired. They took a stone and put it under him. Who knows that the rock that we all stand on is Christ, right? So Moses is a type of Christ. He's a deliverer. He delivers the Israelites out of Egypt. And here he is as a deliverer sitting on the rock of Christ. And now he's holding up the rod of God, which is Christ. And we're seeing Christ typified here in every way possible. And as Christ is there, and who knows that Moses grew tired, but we know who didn't grow tired when they held their hands up on the cross. Jesus didn't grow tired. He went all the way to the finish, and he won the victory for us. So we see Jesus pictured here, and we see Jesus as our victory. So I just love that picture, and see the battle that's waging right there. And the Israelites needed something to look at, something to give them hope. And they were fragile. They were going through a hard time, and they needed some hope. And as long as they could keep their eyes on that staff, that banner, then God could give them hope. So there's different types of banners in our life, and we're going to have a look at just a few of them here. I got a few slides. I literally just picked the most random slides off of the internet here. So we have some flags. Nations have banners that represent them. Let's go to the next slide. Here's some random banners. I don't know if you can see them, but we've got a few different banners represented here. Here's some random flags, some banners. Here's some team banners. And here's some banners like we have out on the street for our church. We got to represent right here. Here's a pole banner. Here's some different banners right here. Okay. Well, let's talk about banners just for a second here. A banner is a bold statement, whether it's a flag, a sign, a symbol on a pole. They can divide us or unite us. Some of those images you saw are banners that make you feel included or not included. They're a cause that you feel represented by or you don't feel represented by. And they're a cause that you want to celebrate, maybe not celebrate, or it could be a cause that you want to live for. And people are choosy about the banners they follow, right? I mean, wouldn't you be careful about what banner you fly in front of your house? You don't want to, oh, I put the wrong one out there. Honey, I put the, vote for Pedro. Vote for Pedro. And so I brought a banner here. This is a banner. This is a banner. I'm just going to hold it up here. See if I can. This is a bold statement. This is a bold banner. I mean, it's a bold banner. How's that make you feel when you see it? I mean, what if you just saw that flying from the Capitol? That would make somebody uncomfortable. So last year at the Capitol, when Sean Foy was worshiping in the Capitol, people actually brought these in. You can't bring flags in the Capitol. They said, you got to put the flags down. You just can't wave any flag on the Capitol steps. You know that? You can't do that. That's not okay. You can wave this flag anywhere else, but not at the Capitol necessarily. So they were waving these flags around. There's a group called Jesus Revival Now. That's where I got this T-shirt and this flag from. Last year, they brought revival to our city, and they were waving those flags. And I thought, man, that is a bold statement. Just waving a big old flag around, like, that is such a bold statement to do. And, but when you are desperate and you're under attack, you'll do desperate things, right? And that's kind of where I'm going today, is that we need to realize that we are under attack. And you got to remember the times that you've been attacked in your life and realize, are you going to let the enemy just keep attacking you and keep stealing your joy and stealing your peace? Or are you going to start fighting for the Lord? And do you have any hope? Is there any banners raised in your life? Do you see any hope? Is there a banner going on that you're saying, that's the banner I want to attach to? You know, because I've seen a lot of banners lately and flags in the past 8 years, 4 years, 8 years, 12 years that I did not like. And there's been banners that have been waved from our White House that we were like, that doesn't represent me. That's not the banner I'm excited for, and that's not God. And so I'm looking for a banner that I can trust in and put my hope in, because I got to have a banner in my life if I'm going to have victory. And so I was like, man, could I walk around with this flag? That would make me feel really self-conscious. Like, what would people think? You know, what would they think if they saw that? And like, man, that might offend somebody. And that'd make me feel really awkward. And that's when I knew, okay, that's what I need. I need to offend my flesh. My flesh needs to shut up, and I need to get bold for God. And so I was like, yes, I need to step out in faith. I need to not care what people think about me. And does anybody else think like that ever? Am I the only one? Because sometimes I realize that I need to step out more, and I can't just be comfortable all the time. Amen. And so I said, I'll wave that flag. So, you know, actually, in the Capitol, we did get to wave the flags for a while. I don't know what happened, but they let us wave the flags for a while. We were praising Jesus. And I'm telling you what, I got breakthrough that weekend. 1 year ago, I was like, a boldness came over me, and I was like, I'm going to wave this Jesus flag more. And so I just encourage you guys to try it someday, to just wave a Jesus flag. And this is a bold statement. You know, you're just walking around, and you forget you have it on, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm representing Jesus today. Like, but that's how it should always be, right? Shouldn't we always be representing Jesus? You know, so this is just prophetic, you know, this is just symbolic. You don't have to walk around with a flag to be a Christian or have a Jesus shirt on, but you do have to have a banner over your life, and you do have to raise a banner for the world to see. And so that's what we're gonna do. And we're going to have the victory. So the Israelites, they're moving away from Egypt. Now, let's just dig into the text a little bit more. Moses was lifting up the rod of God, and it says, God, in the Bible, it says, God is enthroned on the praises of his people. And I think about what I'm reading here and about how, I have a question. Do you know how God makes peace? He makes war. He makes war against evil. That's how God makes peace. He wars against evil. You can't have peace without victory over evil. As long as there's evil in this world, there's going to be war. And until evil is defeated, there won't be any peace. So to get peace, we have to make war against the evil in our lives. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is a man of war. And this is the song of Moses as he came out of Egypt and he saw Pharaoh's troops just get crushed under the Red Sea. It says, you have overthrown or thrown down those who opposed and rose against you. He fights against those who are against him. He is a God of war. And as long as there's evil in this world, there's going to be war. It's when evil men sit down and repent that there will be peace. And James tells us why we have war, because of selfish, greedy men who hate God. And we have war because we are warring with ourselves and our own selfishness and greed. And so James tells us the strategy here, and he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm sorry, I forgot the first part. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humility is the strategy. God gives grace to the humble. All the blessings we have come by the grace of God, and humility is the only way to get grace. I see Moses as a humble man, totally dependent on God for salvation. The Lord fought for him, and Moses was represented under the banner of the Lord. It was a cause that actually cared about him. God cares about you. This cause right here is the only cause that's really fighting for you, that would lay down his life for you. There's no other man that laid down his life for you and that is fighting for you. And God will continue to fight against the spirit of Amalek. We see another example of a banner, and it's lifting up the bronze serpent. In Numbers 21, verse 4 through 9, we see that... Check this out. The people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God, against Moses, and said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Thanks a lot, God, for that manna. We detest it, and you let us out here to die. So the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So isn't that crazy? That's awesome. Moses put this bronze snake up on a pole. What do you think that represents? Obviously, Jesus being lifted up on the pole. Jesus, and why a snake? How in the world? Some people say, man, people mess with the Bible. They altered the translations. There's no way Moses put a snake up on that pole. But the truth is what we see there is a picture of Christ becoming sin for us. The Bible says that he became sin for us. And so I want to read to you Psalms 20, verse 5. I love it. It's about a banner. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Yeah, woo! Victory! Hallelujah! Yes. Psalm 60, verse 4 says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." God has given us a banner. It is Christ. Christ is our banner, and we can display him. And when we display him, the world has hope, and we have victory. And all of these foreshadow the cross. John 3, 14 and 15 says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." And then it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Woo, hallelujah. This is Jehovah Nissi. This is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord has fought the battle for us. He has won the victory for us. The cross was the pole that lifted up the banner. The Lord Jehovah Nissi. Salvation comes to anyone who will look on the Lord. That's it. That's the bronze snake. That's the one that heals our sickness. He's the one that takes away our sin. He is our victory. And if we look upon his suffering and we look upon his love for us, we will have hope. We will be saved. He is the salvation of the world. John 12, 32 says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." If you will recognize the price that was paid for your sin. See, Moses tried and failed to be a banner. And anyone who tries to accomplish what only Jesus can do will fail. But Jesus went all the way to the end. He's the root of Jesse. Isaiah 11, verse 10, prophesied that this day would come. And it says, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious." Today, the Lord fights for us still, and he lives for intercession for us. See, he's still standing at the hill. Romans 8:34 says that he intercedes for us still to this day. He's saying, "Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Don't give up. I've won the victory for you. All you have to do is keep fighting." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jehovah Tsidkenu, the righteousness of God. His hands don't get weary now, and no one is holding them up. He is the exalted Savior. He ensures the battle is won, and there's one greater than Moses. The ascended Christ is enthroned. The cross is the symbol of the Lord and his love for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We lift him up. We lift him up. You guys are under attack, and you may be feeling fragile today. Maybe you're saying, "I just wanted some rest in my life." But God is saying, you got to look at the right flag. You know, you could spell flag fear, loss, apathy, guilt, and shame. Or you could spell flag faith, love, appreciation, grace, and sonship. You know, it's Jewish Heritage Month, and I went to the Holocaust Museum. And we went just a couple days ago to the Holocaust Museum, and I thought it was so fascinating because I'm just studying all about how the Amalekites tried to destroy the Israelites. The Jews were under attack, and they always have been. Satan wants to wipe out God's people, the people that God brought all his promises through and brought Christ through. And so this spirit of Amalek is wants to wipe out God. And since the Holocaust, it was used by Jews as a call to witness. This verse, Deuteronomy 25:17, basically says, write this down, remember it. Write this down so Joshua can remember how the Amalekites tried to destroy us. Write it down and remember it. He says, write it on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure Joshua hears, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek under heaven. Every time the Jews are under attack, they look to this verse about Jehovah Nissi and remember that God is not going to stand for that. And the Jews are still under attack today. And God is saying, be a witness. And so there's, during the time of the Holocaust, the Israelites, the Jewish people would write letters to each other and they would say, bear witness. Bear witness to what happened to us during the Holocaust. Don't ever forget what happened to us. Don't ever forget how Amalek tried to wipe us out. And I want you guys, and that's how you bear witness. That's how you can be a witness. And when you see an atrocity, when you see something happen, you don't turn the other way. And when you see the devil coming after your children today, and when you see pride being lifted up as a good thing, or where you see godlessness being lifted up as a good thing, and you see children being encouraged to mutilate themselves, and when you see perversion in your nation, you see that your children are under attack, and you say, I'm not going to look the other way. I'm going to call this evil for what it is, and I'm going to bear a witness to it. And so God's going to give us the victory, but we have to bear witness to what is going on. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're under attack today, the enemy is trying to steal your identity. He's trying to put fear into you. And he wants you to feel like a nobody. He wants you to feel like you don't matter. And your identity, your person is under attack right now. But God is saying you do matter. And I can use you. And you're created in my image. And I have a plan and a purpose for you. And I have a plan for you, and I'm not going to let the enemy wipe you out. And if you feel like the enemy is trying to wipe you out, and you've been dealing with depression or suicide, that's the enemy. He's trying to wipe you out. You're under attack. And how many know that you've been a slave before? You've been under attack before, and that's when you say, no more. I'm not going to let the devil mess with me no more. I feel like the people that have been under the attack the most are the ones that are the boldest. They raise up a flag and they say, I'm at war here. And they're a bold witness. And I'm not going to be a slave to sin anymore. I'm not going to let the devil beat me up. I'm going to turn to God. And I'm going to repent of my fear. I'm going to repent of carrying all this shame and all this guilt. I've got to give this to God. I've got to give it to God. You got to pick the right side. You got to choose the right banner. You got to pick the right side, and God has given you a banner to choose. I just want to go to the next slide that you have to choose a banner. What is your banner going to look like? What's your banner going to look like? What flag do you want to raise in your life? Are you going to just go with the things that are fitting in with today's society, because they don't give us any hope? Or are you going to have a flag that says Jesus on it? What banner are you going to follow? You have to follow your banner. I got a slide that says, I did not mean to offend you. That was just a bonus. See, you know, if you got to pick a flag, and you have to follow that flag. And sometimes following that flag makes you stand out. And you have to obey God's moves. You got to move. Fulfill the orders that God has given you. But it's not easy. It's not convenient. It's not fun anymore. It costs too much. I don't know what to do. You have to, number three, trust in your banner. I got a banner of the Bulls and all their victory wins. You know, if I was on their team, I'd trust that I was going to win. You know, I don't know if that's the 80s or 90s. That's as much as I follow sports. But if they're the team, I would like that to be my banner if I was on a sports team. You know, I'd be proud to have that banner. You guys can be proud to have this banner. He died on a cross for you. He's the only one that died for you. I was at Pride Fest yesterday, and I carried this banner. And somebody said, "Why do you carry that banner?" I said, "Because this is the best cause that you could possibly live for. He is the greatest love, the greatest thing that you could ever live for. And he loves you, and he cares about you. And, you know, it's time to get bold. Number four, fight for your banner, and don't give up. Don't give up. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist the devil. He will flee for you." I want to ask you guys, what banner are you choosing for your life? Do you have a banner? Is there anything that you're bold, making a bold statement for? Because you have to choose a side. You have to choose a side. And unfortunately, some people are not choosing a side and they're just going with the flow, but that means they're choosing a side. And you guys know what happens when you choose the wrong side. You get defeated. You want to pick the winning side. You know, like, think about it. Think about what's best for children. Think about standing up for life. Don't be on the wrong side. What side are you guys going to choose? Are you guys under attack? Do you feel desperate? Why don't you guys stand up with me for a second? I'm just going to ask you guys a couple questions. What does it take to shake your faith? Are you under attack? Is it unexpected expenses, disappointments, disabilities, illnesses, and now you feel like the Amalekites are winning in your life? What are you going to put your faith in today? Are you going to fight for the Lord? Are you going to just receive the victory that he's already bought for you? Are you going to put your trust in him? And are you going to lift up his banner? Because your victory is dependent on raising the banner of the Lord. If you don't have the Lord, if you've never made the Lord the banner of your life, today is the day to choose a side, because Jesus is coming back. And there is going to be a judgment. There is a judgment for our life, and the choices that we make do make a difference for all of eternity. All of eternity is on the line about the decision you're going to make for Jesus. Or have you put your faith in something completely different? And maybe this is falling on deaf ears because you're comfortable worshiping false gods and you're content with doing what you want to do. Maybe you think, well, I worship Jesus. Well, the devil doesn't care if you worship Jesus as long as you worship every other god as well. If you have any other idols in your life, the devil's very happy about that. He doesn't care if you worship Jesus if you're worshiping all your other idols too. You can only have one God, no other idols. And so we need to ask ourselves, what banners am I waving today? Let's pray. Father God, today we want to put you first, and we repent of worshiping other gods. We repent today, God, of waving any other banners or not even choosing a banner and letting the Amalekites defeat us after you paid the cost, Lord, and for not standing up. And Lord, I pray right now that hope would be lifted up in this room, that we would know that Jesus is alive. All it takes is one banner to be lifted up to bring hope to an entire nation. And if righteousness is exalted, this nation will be saved. And we're lifting up your name today, God. If that's you and you say, I want to make the Lord of my life today, can I see you raise your hand today and make a bold step for Jesus? Maybe you've never made the step and you've had other banners and you tried everything else, but today I'm going to make a decision for the Lord. And maybe you're a believer and you just were being pushed back, but now you need to lift up your banner. Raise two hands. Raise two hands today and say, His banner over me is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to worship you. We're going to get the breakthrough. We're not going to hold back anymore. And we give you glory and honor today. All shame, all guilt, all fear bows its knee at the name of Jesus Christ. We will not be defeated. We have purpose, and the Holy Spirit is falling upon us right now. Just raise a battle cry to the Lord right now and say, Jesus! 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 We worship you, Lord. We call on your name. We need you, Lord. You're our battle cry, God. And we lift you up, and I know I will have the victory in all things. If you keep your arms raised to the Lord, if you keep worshiping him, keep your eyes on him, he will give you the victory in all things. Father God, I thank you for being our Jehovah Nissi today. Woo, hallelujah. God wants to touch you guys, and I know there's some in here that have been going through the battle. And God is going to give you the victory. And he wants to give you his Holy Spirit. He wants to give you hope. And he wants to shake off the demons that have tried to hold you down. And I want to pray for you guys at the end of this sermon. I just thank you guys for coming out today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Let the Lord have his way in your life. No more shame. No more fear. You're not going to... The devil's not going to destroy you with suicide or shame, but you're going to have the victory. Hallelujah. Amen.
This has been a message from Destiny Church in Springfield, Illinois. To learn more about our ministry, visit the episode description where you can find links to our website, ways to give, and more about who we are. You've been listening to the Destiny Church 217 Podcast, your place for real, relevant relationships.